tuned to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Gavin Dahl. This week, I asked two Republicans to reflect on the special session, the 2020 election, and the coronavirus pandemic. Next week, we'll hear from two Democrats. Stay tuned. Republican State Senator Don Corum joins me by phone. Thanks for speaking with me, sir.
Thank you very much, Gavin, and thanks for asking me, and thank you for all the hard work that you do for rural Colorado.
Well, thanks. You represented District 58 in the State House for three terms, 2011 to 2016, immediately following Scott Tipton in that seat once he ran for Congress. Then you were appointed to the State Senate at the start of 2017 and won re-election in the 2018 election. When you moved from the House to the Senate, you added quite a few more constituents. Most people don't know the exact lines of Colorado's political maps, of course. So what are the counties in your Senate district, District 6?
Well, I have eight counties of southwest Colorado. I had four that are in 58, and then I had four that are in 59. So it was a pretty big move, but something that I was well acquainted with most of the region already. And, you know, I've always said the R behind my name stands for rural. So I was already working with those counties a great deal. But it's Montrose, Ouray, San Miguel, Dolores, Montezuma, San Juan, La Plata, and Archuleta counties.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. You were born and raised here in Montrose. You used to serve on the school district board. In your family, is there a right way and a wrong way to say Montrose?
Well, I don't know. I just say Montrose.
Let's talk about the special session that took place at the state capitol in Denver last week. You and your colleagues passed 10 bills in a mostly bipartisan fashion to provide nearly $300 million in relief from the coronavirus pandemic. Did you personally vote yes on all 10?
Yes, I did. I think nine of the bills presented were unanimous, and then there was one bill that probably had maybe somewhere around eight no votes. And it was kind of a protest vote of not going far enough.
Knowing that it would pass, but still trying to make a statement.
Right, absolutely.
One amendment failed during the process. Can you talk about that?
Senator Sonnenberg introduced the amendment, and it was trying to put money into the National Western Stock Show, $3 million, because agriculture is certainly affected along with other small businesses. You know, that's a huge hit to the Colorado economy by not having the National Western Stock Show this year. It is temporarily going to be in Grand Island, Nebraska, and hope that is never permanent.
So you told the Montrose Press before the special session that the gorilla in the room would be where the funding comes from for this state spending. Were you satisfied with what you heard on that?
Well, yes, I am. And as you know, we've been in executive orders forever. And, you know, the legislature has not had a lot to do with the dispersing of the CARES Act funds. And this was some leftover funds from the federal stimulus. So, you know, it's not a hit to the General Assembly.
You've said throughout your career in politics that we do better when the government operates as a team. Republicans attempted to limit the governor's executive order power, but it didn't happen. How should Jared Polis change his approach to governing during the pandemic?
Well, I think communication is the key to government or business. And granted, I did have some communications with the governor. I'm probably one of the few Republicans that did. But, you know, I've spent 10 years in that building, and I know that if you want something done and get the best possible situation out of it, it takes a group effort and bipartisan support.
Looking to the endless gridlock in the U.S. Congress, where Democrats have the majority in the House and Republicans control the Senate, D.C. is kind of a legislative graveyard at this point, particularly for bills passed in the House that can't even get a committee hearing in the Senate. In Colorado, things are different in part because Democrats control both the House and Senate. Don, you're a moderate Republican. Your friends are members of both parties. You co-sponsor bipartisan legislation. It just seems like you're focused on getting things accomplished in a world where so much of politics isn't about that. I'm sure you're glad to see bipartisanship broadly emerge as a theme from last week. Is there room for more when you all reconvene in January?
Oh, absolutely. And it takes two sides wanting to come to a solution, to an agreement. You know, in most cases, there's very few bills that go through that are not amended in some way or another. Usually, the amendments to get on are to make a better bill. Sometimes you're trying to make a silk purse of a sow's ear, but even then, you've got to get those amendments on to make a bill that you really don't like. You need to get everything you can to make it as good as it can be.
Or less bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my guest is Republican State Senator Don Corum, who represents District 6 in the state legislature. Your name shows up as a co-author of one of the bills passed during the special session and signed by the governor on Monday, creating a new $20 million grant program to help school districts get students and staff connected to high-speed internet during the pandemic. In Norwood, for example, librarian Carrie Andrew told our Capitol coverage reporter Scott Franz that families were flocking to the parking lot of the shuttered library building to use its free Wi-Fi back in April. As of September, Governor Polis said about 65,000 students, two-thirds of them Latino, still don't have internet access at home. So can you just briefly describe the particulars of your broadband grant bill, please?
Well, thank you. And this is $20 million that's coming through the Colorado Department of Education. A local school district will make a request, and then the grant process will deliver it to the local school district, and the local school district will be the ones who determine how that money is best used. So that is a prime example of bringing government closer to home.
And obviously, rural broadband continues to be the biggest thorn in the side of folks like yourself trying to get these improvements.
Well, that's true. You know, I actually live in Montrose, and I have excellent broadband. You know, one of my little communities in the West End has great service, Naderita Nukla, in the West End of Montrose County. But my biggest county is La Plata, and there's a lot of La Plata County that internet is definitely lacking. So it's not just to small communities like Norwood. It can happen in the bigger counties too, out there in rural Colorado, where we're not getting that fiber heated up to where we can have access to the world.
Well, one of the biggest controversies last week was the debate about whether to provide relief funds in counties where commissioners have decided not to comply with state public health orders. Can you talk about how that played out?
I think that's a situation, just because you're a county commissioner, and there's three in most counties, there's two counties that have five, Pitkin and Weld, but in most counties in the state, the 62 of the 64 counties, three commissioners, and they set the policy. But the policy may not be the best for the mom-and-pop store down the street or a small business that's trying to survive. And I think it's unfortunate that business would not be eligible under this program, this bill that passed. And there's only a very small number of counties that's affected by it, and I think Weld being one of them, which is one of the wealthiest counties in the state. I didn't want to sacrifice the good in service of the perfect, and I think that's what a no vote would be, because far more of the constituents in Colorado will be benefited by getting something out there for help.
So you wore a mask at the Capitol, but unfortunately, even face coverings were controversial during the special session. On the House side of the building, Republican Mark Baisley reportedly wouldn't wear a mask anywhere in the building. Republican Larry Liston was photographed jokingly wearing a mask like a hat. That was seen as insulting to some frontline health workers, some of the families whose loved ones are among the nearly 3,500 Coloradans who've died from COVID this year. Do you believe that your Republican colleagues should take the basic prevention recommendations more seriously?
Well, I think it is probably good policy if you're going to be there. You take all the protections that you can, and you know, there's controversy. Does the mask work? Does it not work? I wear it because I think it's not for me. I think it's for the protection of others. I'm not concerned about the COVID, me personally getting. My immune system's pretty solid.
Well, so on the subject of testing, I understand lawmakers were offered rapid COVID tests before work each day, but reportedly only a handful took them. You declined. Would you be willing to share your feelings on getting tested at the Capitol?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I'm glad the option was there. But I get calls every day from constituents that have tested, and, you know, 7 or 8 days later, they still haven't got retest results. And I just felt that it was a bit disingenuous on my part if I jump in line of heads of somebody and I get special treatment because I'm a senator, and my constituent who wants to get back to work is out there waiting 8 days, 10 days for a test.
One of your former State House colleagues has passed away from COVID. I believe it was Senator Holbert who had said that really, you know, had an impact on his thinking to have a former legislator die. But
absolutely. No, I'll be glad to talk about it because it was Joe and Lily Nunez, and they were both very good friends of mine. I did not serve with Joe. Joe was several years back in the General Assembly, but Lily was National Republican chair for the National Assembly from Colorado for, I don't know, more than a dozen years, probably. So I knew Joe and Lily very well, worked very closely with her grandson, who was with the Alpar Mar Foundation. So it's a situation that I don't think anybody with any kind of health risks, I think they need to be very, very cautious.
One last question, since my next guest, Ray Langston, the chair of the Montrose County Republican Party, and I will be talking about the 2020 election. I just want to ask you about the congressional race between Lauren Boebert and Diane Mitchbush. You worked closely with Diane at the Capitol for many years. Why do you think her campaign, which of course was not successful, focused so much on going negative against Boebert instead of talking more about Diane Mitchbush's own record as a lawmaker?
Well, I think it was a huge mistake, and she tried to campaign from the basement. And frankly, that in Colorado, people want to see you. They want to know your position on issues. And unfortunately, with no debates, I don't think any of us got a real idea of the policies and procedures that either one of them would bring forward. And with Boebert's election, we wish her well, and it's important that we have representation in the 29 counties that are there. So we'll do whatever we have to do to try to make sure that we keep those lines open to Washington, D.C. from Southwest Colorado.
And of course, in 2 years, it could be a completely different electoral map, right, because of the census and the redrawing of districts?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I wouldn't bet that Representative-elect Boebert and I live in the same district next year.
Republican Senator Don Corum represents District 6 in the Colorado General Assembly, including Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties in our listening area. Thank you so much for speaking with KVNF, sir.
Thank you very much. Always good to hear from you.
Ray Langston is chairman of the Montrose County Republican Party. Thanks for joining me once again on KVNF Community Radio.
Well, thank you, Gavin, for allowing me to do this. It's always nice to talk to you, and it's always nice to get our voice out there for the public to hear on these important issues.
Our listeners just heard State Senator Don Corum talk about the special session of the state legislature from last week. I want to chat with you about that, talk about the 2020 election and the coronavirus pandemic. Let me start by asking you about what's new with the Montrose County GOP since the election. Did you guys move out of the house on Main Street where we spoke last time? And do you have a new headquarters, or are you just keeping things remote for now?
Right now, we're just keeping things remote. Yes, we moved out of the headquarters there on Main Street. We get a headquarters, prior to each election, but we don't want to continue to pay that money out, when there's not an election in progress.
When we spoke in July, you mentioned your group could be taking a financial hit to your budget this year due to the cancellation of the annual Lincoln-Reagan dinner. Can you talk about COVID's impacts specifically on the local party's bottom line, how it's changed the way you do things?
Actually, it didn't change our bottom line on revenue, but it did change the way we had to do things. Like I say, it was an issue for us to figure out how to continue to raise money to support our candidates, support our issues, without being able to get together in large gatherings. But we managed. We had to have our caucus. We were allowed to do that in person. That was just prior to the shutdown. But after that, for the assembly, we had to do that totally remote. We had to do online voting. All of this was totally new to a lot of us. We had a lot of issues. Some people got upset because, they weren't able to vote because there was some miscommunication on email addresses and things like that. But we did our best and we muddled through. Kind of using a phrase from the Marine Corps, we adapt and overcome. And that's what we had to do this year.
As of Monday's COVID statistics, Montrose County has recorded 1,254 positive cases this year with 17 deaths. When we spoke in the summer, you called COVID, quote, a virus that is less lethal than your average flu. The state has now reported 3,437 deaths. I looked it up. Colorado ranged between 500 and 700 deaths from the flu each year since 2014. Do you still stand by that claim?
If you go to the CDC and you look at the statistics, it will show you a large number of deaths, you know, attributed to COVID. But also, if you go over into the other columns, it will also show you how many of those people had other comorbidity issues other than COVID. If you separate those out, then yes, the mortality rate for COVID-only issues is actually very small. It is right in line with your average flu. However, you know, it does seem to prey on people that already have health issues that makes them very vulnerable. And I do not mean to make it sound like, you know, I don't care. Any death, you know, is bad. I mean, I myself lost a stepsister here recently from complications from COVID. And she was 50 years old and generally in good health. So, yes, it does happen. But a lot of this is being politicized. In there lies the problem, because both sides of the political spectrum is using this back and forth as a political football. And that nonsense needs to stop, because it is causing a lot of people a lot of anguish over what should they do, because one side is saying one thing and the other side is saying another. And we really don't need that. We really need to remove the politics from this COVID issue. And we need to address other issues. Yes, we understand it is a serious illness, but we also understand that people are losing their livelihoods because they cannot run their businesses. So we have to find a happy medium in there somewhere.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear about your stepsister. That's terrible. The Centers for Disease Control report COVID spreads more easily than flu. You talked in the summer about Trump supporters being tired of having their rights infringed upon. Nobody claims wearing masks will fully prevent transmission of the virus. We obviously have a lot to learn about this still, but studies are showing facial coverings help reduce the spread. Do you still feel like your personal freedom is at stake when you're asked by public health officials to do your part to protect the most vulnerable? You just said you do care about those folks.
There again, like I say, the problem you have is people on both sides of the issue is putting out information that contradicts one another. Does wearing a mask help? Obviously, if it is airborne, then yes. And there was some debate on that early on. Now I guess I'm hearing from more people that, yes, it is possibly airborne. I still believe people should, you know, take precautions. If I start to go into a business and it says mask required, I put a mask on. I am not going to deny somebody the opportunity to operate their business because of my personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem, you know, being minorly inconvenienced to still be able to conduct business and to conduct my life as I see fit. Where I have a problem with is when we have a governor and other governors in other states that are literally killing the economy and killing small businesses.
Right. Let's talk about the economic impacts of COVID. Everyone I know, Republican, Democrat, Independent, we're all frustrated by the economic impacts of COVID. Truly, across so many industries, from restaurants and bars, arts and entertainment, trades, even agriculture. And yet we see political gridlock prevent any new action in Congress, for example, to provide relief. Is there any part of you as a Republican that would like to see Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi make more of an effort to compromise to get something done on the relief side of things?
Compromise? Nancy Pelosi has shown that she will not compromise on anything. She refused to compromise with the president on passing COVID relief simply because she was not going to give him a win just before the election. The problem with some of the bills they have put forth on the COVID relief is they loaded up with a whole bunch of pork that has no business being there. It is not about helping small businesses. It's not about helping people that have been laid off or lost their jobs due to COVID. It's not about helping people that are about to lose their homes because they can't pay the mortgage or they can't pay the rent. You know, this is just a wish list for the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, vice versa. Like I say, if they are truly interested in helping people, take the pork out and then let the COVID relief do what it's supposed to do, help those people in need.
So back at the state level, Colorado General Assembly met last week in Denver for a special session, and as you know, passed 10 COVID relief bills. Senator Corum says it was about as bipartisan in tone as he's seen in his 10 years at the Capitol. I know you feel there is time for partisanship, you said in the summer. When it comes to the election, all's fair in love and war in politics, right? Do you feel there's also a time for setting aside those differences and hammering out solutions like the legislature just did? Obviously, I understand your frustration with Congress. What's your take on the special session last week?
Absolutely. Like I say, if they work together for the benefit of small businesses and people that have lost their jobs, then I'm 100% for that. You know, like I say, they need more cooperation along that line. But when you have political parties that are bound and determined that it's either going to be my way or no way, then that's where the gridlock starts. And like I said, you know, with Congress wanting to load up the bill with a lot of pork and what have you, then that's totally unnecessary. Yes, we all need to compromise on our views, whether it's Republicans or Democrats or whoever, to do what is right for the people of this state and of this country. And like I say, it is a serious issue. Yes, people are actually dying from this, but we do have to find a compromise to dealing with the illness and being able to keep businesses open and to try to keep as many people as possible employed. You cannot, you know, take certain segments of our population and say, okay, your job is not essential. Believe me, to that person, that job is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, it will create a breakdown, which will start a domino effect in our economy. That, you know, taking a segment of the workforce out will affect the other parts of our economy. So, and we have actually seen that.
As Ray Langston, the chairman of the Montrose County Republican Party, you're tuned to Local Motion on KVNF. This week, we're talking to two Republicans. Next week, we'll talk to two Democrats. Ray, I read all the emails you send out. I want to commend you here on the radio, as I did in an email back to you during the campaign season, on the fact that you shared accurate information from the county clerk's office about the right to vote, key dates, registration, etc. So thank you. I also know, because I read your emails, you helped get out the vote for Lauren Boebert in a big way in our area, touting her many campaign stops, hosting parades and demonstrations throughout the campaign season, of course, for all Republicans, but she was one of the big wins here. Folks who know you know that you're friends with Congressman Scott Tipton, who she beat in the Republican primary. Now that Lauren Boebert is headed to Congress with her Glock on her hip, what's your message to her? What kind of tangible impact do Montrose Republicans want Lauren Boebert to deliver in Washington?
What I want her to do is exactly what she did to win that election. I want her to stand up and support conservative ideas and not support any legislation that interferes with our constitutional rights or God-given rights. She has done a phenomenal job. And yes, I am friends with Scott Tipton. He is a great congressman. He did a lot of good for CD3. The people decided to trust her with this job now. I am 110% behind her. She brings a lot of new energy into our party. You know, she's a go-getter. And that is what we need. Not to take away from anything from Scott Tipton, but even her herself, I believe she said, when you're in a war, you don't need a peacetime general. You need a wartime general, and that's what she's going to do. She's actually going to take the fight to Congress and especially to address one of the things that have been happening within the Democrat Party, the move towards, you know, making socialism acceptable, you know, with AOC and the Squad. You know, she wants to address that issue. It needs to be addressed.
You're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm speaking with Montrose County Republican Party Chairman Ray Langston. We've got to talk about President Trump and his unwillingness to concede in the 2020 election. Now, real quick, I looked up the numbers today. According to what's being officially reported in this country, Joe Biden received over 7 million votes more than Donald Trump nationally. Biden won the Electoral College 306 to 232. Now, of course, you're on the record as a big supporter of the Electoral College. By any measure, Biden won the election. You're one of the most flag-waving guys I know, Ray. Don't you worry that Trump pressuring Republican election officials around the country to undermine the results, publicly refusing to accept this, could be harmful to the standing of our country?
No, actually, I believe he is doing exactly what he needs to do. There are some serious questions about this election and how it was conducted. Several of the states that are in question decided to change the rules at the last moment. The other thing people need to understand and need to be very aware of, there are people, poll watchers, that are signing documents under penalty of perjury that they witnessed some things take place that call into question the legitimacy of this election. This is not frivolous, and these issues need to be brought forward. Get into a courtroom and find out how serious this is. There are issues that have called into question the Dominion software. That needs to be thoroughly investigated, because there have been a lot of other issues, you know, where people have taken a serious look at the Dominion software and refuse it. Texas is one of them. Texas absolutely refused to use Dominion software in their state, because when they looked at it, they could see that there were some serious issues with it. Now then, I'm part of the canvassing board here in Montrose County, which means I am one of three people that actually certifies our elections. There's me representing the Republican Party, then there's a representative from the Democrat Party, and then, of course, our county clerk, Tressa Gines. Here recently, I refused to certify the election because of concerns with the Dominion software. Also had concerns with the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, using her office to promote partisan politics, which is a violation of the Hatch Act. Then we also have issues with Joe Biden, things that were revealed on Hunter Biden's computer suggest that possibly Joe Biden, while being vice president, actually received bribes from foreign countries. This is a serious issue. The mainstream media refused to report on that. Facebook and Twitter refused to allow anyone to even talk about it or share it on social media.
So, Ray, you voted in Montrose County not to certify the results, not because you distrusted County Clerk Tressa Gines or the election software in Montrose County, but more as a protest of wider alleged election irregularities.
Exactly. Because like I say, as part of the canvassing board, I take part in testing the machines. We do the LAT, logistics and accuracy testing. We do that before each election. After each election, we do the risk-limiting audit. We've done it four times this year. I have seen absolutely nothing here in Montrose County that would suggest that there's anything nefarious going on. Tressa Gines is an awesome county clerk. I trust her emphatically. I trust her staff. In no way am I calling into question their integrity. Believe me, if Tressa Gines and her staff was running the election for the whole country, this would be over with, settled with, and everyone would be totally comfortable with the outcome. But unfortunately, we have some serious issues. Another issue, that was a concern of mine is the fact that we have a media that is basically turned into a lapdog for the Democrat Party. They are all too happy to report on anything that is negative about President Trump, but they refuse to report on issues like Hunter Biden's computer. That needs to be thoroughly investigated. We can only have fair and free elections if we have a well-educated populace. And that's not going to take place if we have a media that refuses to do their job. If our newspapers and television stations and radio stations refuse to do their job and allow people to thoroughly investigate these accusations, whether it's just an accusation that leads nowhere or not, it still needs to be investigated. Because if it is found to be viable, then we have other issues that need to be addressed. And like I say, my job as chairman of the Republican Party here in Montrose County is, like I say, to educate voters. My job is made much more difficult if I have a newspaper and TV stations that refuse to air certain stories.
That's Montrose County Republican Party Chairman Ray Langston. Thanks for taking the time to speak to KVNF.
Thank you. Glad to do it. Give me a call anytime. And yeah, I understand that, we have time constraints that you have to adhere to. But thank you again for at least hearing me out and understanding the concerns I have.
You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. This week, we talked about the 2020 election, the special session of the legislature, and COVID with Republicans. Next week, we'll hear from Democrats. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for tuning in to Mountain Grown Public Radio.